Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with international marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
Crowd goes wild with delirious joy. They've joined the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
Indeed.
Marriage is what brings us together today.
I'm, of course, your host, the one, the only Mark Unger, in stripes today. Check out this jacket.
Zoot suit, baby.
It is. You're like a gangster.
Like a gangster. The gangster of love.
Oh, yeah.
I am the gangster of love, yeah. Ross.
Uh-huh.
Like this, Ross?
I do.
Tell me, guys.
I do like
styling.
It.
He's styling. Of course, people listening by radio are.
I wish that you would.
Can't see what we're talking about, but.
Get to a place where we could borrow and exchange clothes.
You mean he has to lose some weight? Is that what you're saying?
I was trying to.
I think it'd be easier for you to get fat.
Probably.
Anyway, joining me as always, the very lovely and charming and always a queen of zoot suitness. Whatever that means.
Zooty suitness.
She's real purple today.
Purpley.
She's the queen of purple. Weren't you purple?
Where's your yellow?
A couple of shows ago.
To go along with it.
Where's what?
Yellow?
Yeah.
Yeah, purple and yellow are supposed to go together.
Oh, Vikings fan over here.
I'm just saying.
No,
of course, the amazing Ross Allen Skorzewski. And the show is being engineered by the very talented but eerily creepy Timothy Robert Ray, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake as we do the show from the bunker beneath the earth here in Green Bay, Wisconsin. This is the show that handles your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at askask@markunger.com. This is how the show works. You can send a question about anything, about relationships. Nothing is off limits. Okay, hence the warning at the beginning of the show. It sometimes tends to be very adult content oriented. You can ask whatever question you like and stay totally anonymous. We, in turn, then are brutally honest. That's how the game is played, okay? You're totally anonymous. We are brutally honest. This is a show of brutal honesty. If you don't like brutal honesty, then this isn't the show for you. So if you've got all kinds of very sensitive emotional boo-boos all over yourself, don't email us. But if you'd really like to know what we think, and again, it's just what we think.
Yeah.
Sometimes we argue with us. It's just what we think.
Yep.
We can't
You're
prove it.
You're entitled to your own opinion.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion.
That's right.
You know, there's not a whole lot you can prove about much of anything.
That's right.
This is what we think. So if you'd like to know what we think about your situation, send us an email and we will jump in on it.
Are you done admiring yourself?
I'm checking it out, man. I got this zoot thing.
It's like a rooster who just like kind of struts in front of the mirror and admires himself.
It's a cool suit,
it's
man.
Cool.
I like this
Maybe
suit.
We do need our own
monitor.
Big screen monitor so that we can just stare off really, and just
I don't think
completely.
I'll be admiring myself quite the way he is, though. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. I found this off of some Christian website. It's called Warning Signs in Dating Relationships, written like two women. Warning signs you need to look for in the guy that you're dating. And you wonder where some of the schlock that is in the heads of Christian women comes from.
All right.
I think I found a pretty good source of it. A lot of this right here. Okay, ready?
All right.
First one, warning sign. If you are more interested in your relationship with Christ than your date is.
Okay, so that's a warning
okay,
sign.
Okay, but listen to what they say. If you desire to have a marriage relationship built on scripture, you will want to marry a man who will be a
strong spiritual
leader to you and your future family.
Again, the reason why we stress that is there's no place in the Bible that says a man is supposed to be the spiritual leader. It is something the church has just made up. They pulled it out of their ears. There's no place. What the Bible says is the man is the head of the house, period. Period. But what they say is he has to become the spiritual leader. So it's something a man has to become. Mm-hmm. And then women get critical of their husbands because they haven't become that yet. This status of a man being the leader of the home is not something he becomes. It's something he is.
Yes.
Straight up. Boom. Done. He is the leader in your home. That's, he's the head. That's what God set up. You need to support him and respect him as such. But this idea that he has to do everything or has to be more spiritual, there's no place in the Bible that says that. You know, it's often we've used this analogy before, teaching about the king and priest in the Old Testament. It carries into the New Testament in certain parts, where there was the king, the guy who was in charge, and then the priest who heard from God. Mm-hmm. You see this all the time. You know,
they weren't one and the same.
And oftentimes, I mean, Jesus even was led by, brought in by John the Baptist, who was in essence the prophet leading him in type thing. Of course, kind of hard analogy with Jesus, but even with in the church, the Bible says, "Let the prophet speak, and let the leaders judge." Oh, they're not the one and the same. Oh, I thought the leaders all had to be the prophets, the one. No, apparently not. This model is so successful, even Satan duplicates it in the end, because you've got the Antichrist and the false prophet. Mm-hmm. But then the churches come. Foolish people who they mean well, but they've taught foolishly. We have a lot of stuff. The reason the church struggles so much in marriage and in their homes, because we teach stuff that's not biblical. Mm-hmm. The churches come along and says, no, the man has to be both king and prophet. He has to be the leader and the one who hears from God all the time. He has to be the one who's more spiritual and the one who does the checking accounts and the one who makes all the decisions. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. The idea that because someone is the head, he has to do everything or is responsible for everything, if he has to do everything, he is responsible, is ludicrous. I promise you, whatever country you're listening to right now, whether it's the United States, Africa, wherever, you have leaders in your country. Like our case, it's the president of the United States. He doesn't do everything.
No.
He's responsible.
Yeah.
But there's other people who know a lot more about than he. Most of the time when a president walks in the room, quite frankly, he's the most uneducated guy in the group. He'll walk into economic room and there's people who are economic experts. Mm-hmm. He'll walk into military meetings, there are military experts.
Yep.
There's no place that says that the president's supposed to do all this stuff. He listens to them, he makes the decisions. Anybody who runs a company knows that the guy who probably knows the least about how to actually make something is the CEO of the company. Mm-hmm. The guy on the floor, the one who actually runs the machines, he makes it. The people who put it together and glue it, make it, put in the screws, they know what's going on, but they're not in charge. The guy who's in charge, just because you're in charge doesn't mean you have to do everything or know everything about everything. So this is an unbalanced teaching the church has done and has been foolish, and it's been very damaging to homes, where we've come and told women, particularly to tell the women, that your husband's supposed to be the spiritual leader of the home, and he's the one who should be most spiritual, and he's the one who should get insights from God, and he's the one who should read the Bible more than you. Da, da, da. And there's no place in the Bible that says that.
No.
It's just not true. It's just not there. And all it does is create dissatisfaction and frustration.
Yeah, they actually
I could teach on this for 3 hours straight.
They actually ask the question, are you spiritually stronger than he is? Your spiritual maturity may result in frustration and leadership struggles if he is not as strong as you in his relationship.
Didn't we see
with
that
God.
Yesterday's
that was
email?
The problem with the word
I would
yesterday.
Say this. If a woman thinks like this, by all means, just stay single. Yeah. They'll marry some guy and they will be critical.
Miserable.
Again.
And here's the thing, because the way we measure spirituality, we think that if you sing more, you're more spiritual.
Okay. Mm.
Bible studies.
If you read more, you're more spiritual. Says who? There's no place. You know, I can't stand. And I'm a musician. I've played music for years in church. I spend way more time in services playing keyboards and trying to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit than anybody I know. But this idea that just you can sing, you're more spiritual because you can play more is absurd. The reason people sing, they're just good singers. That's all. They're making more spiritual. And women love to sing. So the women are more spiritual in church because they sing when the guys don't. They stand there, they don't sing as much. So the
women love to read
way more than men do.
They love to go to Bible studies.
And they love to chat and share. And they all think those are measures of spirituality. It is not. It's just that you like to read more and you like to sing more and you like to chat more. But because then they turn around and they're critical of their husbands because he doesn't do those things more. Why don't you read as much as I do? How come I don't read the Bible? How come I haven't read these books yet? How come I haven't listened to these tapes on marriage? And of course, you should listen to all my tapes. So, you know, I mean, and all they do is get critical, and we've given this thing, and they get frustrated. Yeah. The people who think the most like this are the ones who are the most frustrated. Yeah. It is not helpful. And you would think the Christian leadership would get a clue. It's not biblical. There's no place in the Bible that says spiritual head of the home. There's no place in the Bible that says spiritual leader of the home. It's not there. Ah! Good Lord.
Is it even worth looking at?
You know, it makes me so mad because then they have these horrible marriages and then they come to guys like me, you know, pastor, my husband's not doing this. Just hush.
Well, again, I go back to if you're so spiritual, then you should have the patience.
Yeah.
You should have the joy. You should not be having these issues if you're so stinking spiritual.
But their pastors told them the man should do this.
I know.
And the women's conference, they want you to say the man should do this. And they listen to this guy, and the man should do this. They watch this marriage show, and the man should do it. We do all this stuff, and it's all a bunch of baloney. Ticks me off.
And that's just the first warning sign.
That's just the first warning sign. I'm already irritated.
I'm sorry.
Me and my fancy suit. Here, I thought I was happy with my fancy suit.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Now I'm upset. Now I'm upset.
Well, hold on. Let me.
God, we create our own problems. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more whining right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to ask@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows.
And we are here, this podcast of the Mark Gunger Show. We're doing another plug for our sponsor. We have a new sponsor. Of all the sponsors we have. Actually, this is the only one.
The only one.
No, actually, we have a new sponsor with Fave Television, Family
yes.
and Values Entertainment. We haven't got to it yet.
Yes.
We'll get there. But anyway, this podcast today is being brought to you by Audible.com. They're our first sponsor. Let's hear it for them. They are the leading provider of audiobooks with over 100,000 downloadable titles from all across all types of literature. Literature. You want to be educated. Nancy, you want to be educated. You don't have time to read, right? Right? So get an audiobook. Pop it in. You can listen to it. And you become educated that way automatically. It has fiction, nonfiction, periodical. What category are we in? We're probably nonfiction.
Yeah. Yeah. but we're not a book.
We're not a book, actually, yeah.
We need to get your book on there, though.
We should, but I can't imagine me sitting down and reading my whole book out loud.
I know, but you need to, because in your voice, it'll be the best.
I can't imagine just reading my book. I don't know if I've ever actually read my whole book in one sitting. It took forever to write it.
Do you ever read a book in its entirety in one setting?
On occasion, but not very often.
How many pages?
I'm not a big reader. Well, at least one page. That's the beautiful of Audible.com.
You don't have to read. You just listen.
All you guys out there, you need to get this information. You don't need to read.
That's why you need to put it on audio. Audio. Your book.
And so Audible.com. And check it out for the Mark Gunger Show listeners, because we have such power, such influence on the world. They are giving our listeners a free audiobook of your choice. A free book. You can go and pick any book you want and listen to the whole, and you get it for absolutely free. And a 30-day free trial membership. All you have to do is go on to audible.com. audiblepodcast.com/Gunger, G-U-N-G-O-R, okay? audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. Some great books in Audible. There's 100,000.
Oh, yeah.
There's a gazillion. But some of them are a little crazy, but look for the good ones.
Yes.
Grace-Based Parenting by Tim Kimmel.
Yes, he's our friend.
We know Tim. He's a great guy. He actually reads it. Ken Davis, his book, Fully Alive, Lighten Up and Live. We love Ken Davis. Ken, he's crazy. He's a hilarious.
Would get that book of
that
his.
That is
I would
one
like
funny
to
guy.
Oh, he's
you know,
hilarious.
You should take the free thing and go on. You can.
I should.
You know, actually, I should go to my own website and get my own free book and listen to Ken Davis.
I want to.
Just go to audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. audiblepodcast.com/Gunger. I think I'm going to do it so I can get Ken Davis's book for free and then laugh and tell him, I got your book and I didn't pay for it. All right, check it out.
See, I'm tired. I've been carrying a heavy load. Cause I was born with a blues and bad attitude. Went down to the river. I got nothing to lose.
You're listening to Mr. Jimmy Bradshaw. Check out his music at jimmybradshaw.com. Great friend of mine. Looking forward to being on the road with him a little bit. I got a few selected dates. I'll be playing on the road with Jimmy next year. Kind of fun. It's my getaway. Just my way of relaxing.
Mm-hmm. It'd be better if we had
I ordered this cool B3 organ that's all chopped down in a case. It's all portable.
Oh, really? A portable organ to take on the road?
Yeah, it's very, very cool. So looking forward to doing that. Anyway, so we're reading from... Is this lady married? Do we know?
I don't know.
This lady's writing to Christian girls trying to give them advice. But they over-spiritualize this stuff. And this is a problem in the church. It is a big problem in the church. We've given such a standard that men are supposed... That it's virtually impossible for them to reach. Particularly because the measurement is out of whack. Even if you take the argument that a man should be more spiritual than his wife, which the Bible does not say, the term spirit, isn't it amazing? We take terms, and we so use these so that people actually think it's in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. There's no place in the Bible that says spiritual leader. The husband should be the spiritual leader of the home. Ask almost any evangelical woman anywhere. Is a man supposed to be? Does the Bible say a man should be the spiritual leader of the home? They'll say, oh, absolutely. See, you guys, you don't read the Bible. You don't read it. You read pieces of the Bible. They don't read the Bible. They read pieces of the Bible. They don't right. think. No place does the Bible say it. So anyway, so check this out. So she writes and says that, you know, the role of the husband toward the wife, Paul describes when it says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And it describes what Jesus did, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word. Mm-hmm. So then she goes on to say, a husband is responsible to lead his wife in sanctification. Kidding me? This lady's out of her ever-loving mind.
She's recently engaged, by the way, I found
out. See, she's single. I knew it.
Recently engaged, her bio says.
Oh, okay. Wait.
Does her fiancé do this?
Wait. I'm sure if she thinks he does. Oh, wait till she gets married. She's miserable. Okay, now, so check this out. She just said something and said that's something blatantly, it's not true.
Out of context.
A man is not responsible for the sanctification of his wife.
Jesus.
Well, he says, well, that's what he just described what Jesus did. Using her analogy, every man should not only sanctify his wife, but then also die on a cross for her.
Oh, please. Can we employ that one?
Yeah, can we kill these guys? I see a bunch of women out there in the back going, yes, yes. Hallelujah.
She's out of her ever-loving mind. He's not ready to be a husband.
Okay, check this out.
She's crazy.
And I said this at the last marriage seminar I did. And boy, I got some looks and stuff like that. You know, the pastors are squirming over the corner.
Oh, I'm sure.
We have singles ministries that are led by single people, and it needs to stop. If you have a singles ministry run by a single person, get out of it. Go to your pastor, get out of it. Quit going. Having a single person run a singles ministry is like having a person who's never had children teach a class on parenting. Mm-hmm. They don't know what they're talking about. These people don't know what they're talking about. They've never been married. They don't know jack about marriage. And yet she's writing all these things. Yeah. That's why I asked you. See if she's married, because anyone this squirrely has not been married. Yep. And sure enough, she's not.
Right.
Is this her list of?
Oh, I'm sure it is. But these, I'm telling you. Church people, listen to me. Those of you who are leaders in your church, look at your church. Do you have a singles ministry? Yes, we do, Pastor. Is the person leading it single? Yes, he is. Stop it. Get some couple in there who leads the singles ministry.
Yeah.
They know how to talk about how to pay bills and deal with this, all this kind of stuff like that. But a lot of the single thing is a lot of people who are singles groups are looking towards marriage.
Yeah.
Well, don't let a single person lead this.
They don't know. They don't have a clue.
Honestly.
Her first point was really lame.
Would a church put in charge of the parenting class someone who's never had kids?
Probably not.
Why not?
Because they don't know what they're talking about.
But they know the Bible. Right?
I guess. Maybe there are churches who do.
No, it's very rare. Do you know why? Because anyone who's had kids knows people who don't have them are full of it.
Yeah.
They don't know what they're talking about. And have you ever had someone who's not have kids advise you on how to have children?
Oh, I want to beat them.
Yeah. It's wonderful, people. Anybody out there ever have that? You see how crazy those people are? That is exactly what happens in singles groups when you have single people running it.
But they will tell you single people know how to be single.
They don't know what they're talking about, Diane.
But that's, I know.
Now, if you have a singles group that is only dedicated to being and staying single with no looking to marriage, then have a single person run it.
Yeah. But that's not what most singles groups are about. Most singles groups are about how to find and get out of being single.
How to find the person and how to get out of being single. Yeah. And they got single people running it. They don't know what they're talking about. And you pastors who are listening to this, you church leaders and this, you people in your churches, you allow these single people to run, you're going to continue the cycle of crazy. Has anyone noticed these people are borderline nuts? And they get married eventually after 15,000 years, because it takes them forever to find the right person, right? And then they're married, and then they're miserable, and then they suck the life out of everybody in the church because they need counseling and help, and oh my God. When are we going to stop being so blatantly ignorant? We have no business putting single people in leadership roles in these roles. I just think it's outrageous. They don't know what they're talking about. No. They literally quote stuff and exaggerate. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus loved Christ. You should love your wife like Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for her that he might sanctify. And just that's describing the role. She literally
says the husband should sanctify
the wife. She's crazy.
So we could have a lot of widows.
I think there should be a lot of women crucifying their husbands.
Oh, yeah. Then according to her logic, then we all should be crucified as well. Right. That's what Jesus did. Yeah. Honestly, they don't know what they're talking
about. What is the age of this woman? Able to find
out. I bet you she's pushing 30s.
I can probably guess from her college.
Because I'm serious. And when you look at all these things, I wonder if these are things that she has gone through in previous relationships that have just irked her.
Who knows? Now, what it is in the single community, we have generations of of broken concepts and ideas that have been repeated over and over and over and over and over again. And this is so deep now, we're up to our eyeballs in it now. Forget our eyeballs. I'd be thrilled if we were up to our eyeballs. We're way in over our heads. They are teaching concepts and ideas that are not biblical. They are extra biblical. They are beyond the Bible. And they start bringing in these unrealistic expectations into marriages. And then these people are miserable when they get married because they've listened to this nonsense.
Early 20s, I think, judging by her year of graduation from Liberty College.
I don't know.
Liberty University.
Anyway, let's take a break. I'm sure we'll have more. We haven't got past part one.
That's one.
We'll be back with more whining right after this.
Mark Gunger. Yeah, we've got an app for that. Download your free Mark Gunger app today.
Some may find the great depressing not a blessing, but I'm confessing. I'd love to feel that gentle tether in all weather brings us together.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show. Watching the Mark Gunger Show, whatever. With my pinstripe shoot. It's not really. You don't call these pins. What'd you call it? Pinstripe?
That's a pinstripe.
Mm-hmm. It's just big stripes.
Nope, it's a pinstripe.
Mm-hmm.
Really? They vary in width.
Very. I am very decked out today. I'm in my zoot suit.
Mm-hmm.
We're already through almost the first half hour of the show, and we've only gotten through point one of this thing. And I don't know that we need to do any more. Just the point is. Or we can spend different days going through different things if you want to keep coming back to it. It's just that these single people are doing a great disservice to the kingdom of God. And look, they got good hearts. God bless them.
No.
But they are not qualified to do what they're doing.
They don't know how misguided they are. That's the problem.
And they don't know. They keep hearing and reading from the same broken people over and over and over again, and it just gets worse. That's why these people say, well, you know, I'm just waiting for the Lord to bring me a husband. Almost every single group would talk about that. No one in the Bible says that. Yep. The Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. You know, how about you go find someone? Well, I'm waiting for God to do it. Well, who said that? That's like someone saying, have you got a job yet? No, I'm waiting for God to bring me a job. Well, you think they're an idiot.
Yeah.
You know, you're trying to learn how to play the piano. Did you practice your lesson? No, I'm just waiting for God to teach me. Well, you think they're an idiot. No other area of life will we do, except when it comes to marriage, because we've had single people dominating the conversation, and then pastors who've come in and taught, and because they like to over-spiritualize some stuff themselves, and they've overdone it, and then single people take it, run with it, and it's gotten out of control, and then they get married, and they're all a disaster. It is the exact analogy. I'm telling you, people, it's the exact same analogy. The same thing would happen in parenting if we let people without children teach parenting classes in churches. And see, you know, just the very idea is ludicrous to people because they know single people, they don't understand. They don't understand the dynamics. They don't understand the nuances. They overdo it. They take, you know, you just need to spank that kid.
Yeah.
The Bible says, discipline a child the way and they apply it. So they don't get it.
It's a lot different in practice than it is in theory.
But that's the problem. That's why the Bible says you need to use wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is practical application of truth. Mm-hmm. You need to seek for wisdom. And oftentimes you get wisdom from people. In the multitude of counselors, there is wisdom. Mm-hmm. You go to people. That's why elderly people were held in such great esteem in the Jewish community, because they were the ones who knew the practical application of truth. We think, here's the Bible. I got the truth. I don't need any wisdom.
Well, because you've experienced it, you know what it's like to be a parent.
No, but I'm saying,
so you can speak to
it. We despise wisdom today. We become very foolish. Only a fool, the Bible says, despises wisdom. I promise you, the Western church in America today has become extremely foolish. We despise wisdom, especially single people. They don't want to hear what they think is the people who are already have experience. They've missed the truth. That's what they think. So they try to really get spiritual and stuff like that, but they violate the principle of wisdom. That's why you should not have single people leading singles ministries. It has to stop. They don't know what they have. They know in theory, but they lack wisdom. They don't have the practical application of truth. So they take these truths, and then she starts applying it in articles like this, and these singles books, and these singles conferences, mm-hmm. and they're all just full of it. How about we get young, successful, or even older, married couples? Man, some geezers. Put them in charge of your singles ministry. Talk to them. Let me show you the practical application of truth.
Caution, the Mark Gunger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience.
First he gives me the melody, then he brings in the harmony. From out of nowhere, words seem to come.
We're back on the Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationship. Mark Gunger along with Diane Brierley and Ross Allen Skorzeski. Answering emails about love, marriage, and relationship, though we haven't taken any emails yet, and we may not at the rate I'm going.
Because you have many things to say.
Well, I'm just telling you, if you're having a problem, if you just treat the symptoms,
the problem never goes away.
The problem never goes away. Most marriage struggles in the church and stuff like that, the reason we're constantly dealing with symptoms. You need, if you're going to fix it, you have to go to the root cause. Yep. And if we're going to look at the church and look at the root cause of marriage problems, you have to go back to the singles.
Yes. Yeah.
What are they being taught? And they are overwhelming. In fact, I don't know of a single singles group that is not led by a single person.
They usually always are.
That is the root problem. It is literally, because you'll have misapplication of truth. Which is what this Shelley Colson does in her article.
What the singles group stands for, if it's singles that are celebrating being single.
But if you have a singles group that just wants to, this is for people who only want to stay single, I'm all cool with that.
Yep.
But that's not what most single group, people are going to single, they want to know how to deal with life, but learn how to find a spouse for life.
Exactly.
These should never be led by single people.
Agreed.
And if we don't start going to the root cause people, we are going to keep having the same problem over and over and over. There is no wisdom when you have
systemic.
A single person leading a singles ministry. Because wisdom is the practical application of truth. That's why, again, in times of old, old people were highly revered in the Jewish culture. Why? Because they had the truth. They could read the scriptures.
Sure.
They could read Moses. They could read the law. Mm-hmm. And they would go to the elders and say, how do you do this? And in their wisdom, they would say, this is how you apply that truth. Yeah. Only a fool, the Bible says, rejects that. And we're foolish today. Because we have single people who don't want to listen to married people. If anything, they think married people are screwed up.
Oh, absolutely.
They don't know what they're talking about.
It's
functional.
They don't understand. I'm sure this lady's, the problem is just married people, they don't understand what I have in this article. Yeah. If they would just understand it and know that a man is supposed to is responsible for the sanctification
of
his wife.
If married people lived this
out, absurd concept.
They would have better marriages.
Oh, yeah. If, you're just, oh,
if I lived this out, my home would be a very miserable place.
A disaster.
Oh, my goodness. They lack wisdom. Again, I'm beating this like a dead horse, but it's like having someone who's never had children teach a parenting class. Now, they read the same Bible we do. Mm-hmm. They can read the same James Dobson books we do. Mm-hmm. They can do all kinds of, they have the same knowledge. But anybody who's ever listened to a non-parent teach on parenting knows they don't know what they're talking about. Why? They lack wisdom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now these purists would say, no, you're compromising because you're not idealistic. No.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's not a compromise. It's called wisdom. We have learned the practice because the truths are still true.
Yes.
Let me show you how to apply it. This is how you apply that truth. And virtually anybody who's a parent understands that. Oh, yeah. Okay. Boom, 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 boom.
Yes.
Anybody who would let a single person run around who's never been married and never had children and teach on parenting is a fool.
Indeed.
And I'm telling you, we are foolish in the Christian community because our root rotten core is that we have single people teaching single classes and trying to lead them into marriage. They don't know what they're
talking
about.
And teaching them stuff like this so that the expectations are so out of whack that there's no way that you learn this, you learn this, you learn this, and then you get married and this is what you're expecting.
It has to stop.
You're going to be...
But see, this type of stuff is all over the place, because you've said this before.
Oh, yeah,
you look at, like, marriage counselors. when they have an 80% failure rate, or some of these people who are out there as therapists, psychologists, who've been, you know, married and divorced 5, 6, 7 times, trying to pass on the keys to a successful marriage.
Doesn't work.
It's all over the place.
Because they lack wisdom as well.
Yes.
They have the knowledge, but they can't do it because they don't know how to practically apply the knowledge. Mm-hmm. That's what wisdom is about, people. The ability to apply truth. And if you don't have that, then it just doesn't work. And we're just a disaster. We have all these single people running around writing books on single, and
everybody's an expert.
And this is how you a man and a woman relates to. She's writing all about how a man and woman. She doesn't know what she's talking about.
Right.
She has truth, but look, and then she misapplies it.
Yeah.
She takes some biblical truth, and then she says, "A husband therefore is responsible to lead his wife in sanctification." She's out of her ever loving mind.
That's as literal can be.
I thought that was a bit crazy. I mean, she has good points. Like, if the dude can't keep his hands off of you and stuff like that, if he's got anger issues, there are certain things that I think that she hits the mark on.
It's not all bad. I'm just telling you.
But see, that's the problem.
Remember when we were in Africa? I'm teaching. There's like 3,000 people there. I'm teaching. And this guy who's 40 years old, a single guy, who's in charge of singles ministries at some church, gets up and starts screaming at me.
They literally
had to drag him out of there.
Yes, they did.
Because he was so disruptive. Because he was beside himself. He was foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
Because when they listen to me, they go crazy.
Yeah. Well, he did not like what you had to say.
No, it's just, you don't know what you're talking about. Well, I know I'm the single, I'm 40 years old and I'm single and I know. The fact that you're 40 years old and single means you don't know what you're talking about. It's like a doctor who's never operated on anybody. It's like an airline pilot who's never flown a plane, but he's read every book on flying.
Yeah.
I promise you, they play the video game. You can and they play the video game. You know, you can play the video games, you can fly the simulators, you can read all the books, you can know all the facts and figures about flying. How many of you'd want to get in a plane with that guy?
Nope.
No.
What if he could quote more stats and statistics about flying than I could?
Absolutely not.
So I've had almost 3,000 hours of flying airplanes. I know how to fly an airplane.
Yeah.
I may not remember. In fact, I'm already dreading it because I got to go for my annual training. They always ask you for all these facts and figures. I'm going to ask them, what's the point of this? How many feet is in, you know, the left wing? You know, who cares? What's the point of that? If I can tell you how many rivets are in the tail, what's that got to do with anything, you know? Mm-hmm. But they, you know, it's just education. They like to throw stupid facts at you and stuff like that. But let's say someone can just rattle all that off. He'll know the weight, the balance, the CGs, the thrust, the amount of my engine is a jet engine, but it's a prop. They derate it. Mm. It's because otherwise it'd be too powerful for my little airframe. You know, they know the rate of and how they derate it, and they got all this stuff, and they know where the P3 tubes go and this and all this, and they understand all of these things more than I, because I don't understand any of it.
But never
flew a plane. I kind of do. I mean, I got to fly the plane, but I'm talking literally where you really know all that. But they've never flown the plane. Who would you want to get in with?
I don't want to go up in the air with them.
You don't want to get in. This is what we're doing. We have people in singles ministry speaking into lives who are going to keep creating the same disasters we're having over and over and over. One of the greatest disasters is that people are waiting so long to get married now. Because these single people, because they're waiting so long to get married, because none of what they teach actually works.
Right.
So nobody wants to marry them.
Yeah.
So now they're 45 and single. So everybody else is, well, I'm only 38 and single. And that's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
They're leading them all right down the toilet. Yep. And then people listen to this nonsense. It has to stop. We need to stop having single people leading single ministries. Unless the point of the ministry is to stay single and to function as single. If that's it, then by all means, do it. Well, let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll actually jump into some emails.
Yes, you will.
And I think I've beat that horse clearly to death. We'll be back with more right after this.
Want more of Mark? Visit markgunger.com. There you will find everything that Mark has to offer.
The lie and the promise.
We're back on the Mark Gunger Show. Mark Gunger in his pinstripes, looking cool, dapper today. Probably blinding people's TV sets.
I can't see. There's too many white stripes on that thing.
It looks good.
Along with Diane Briley, Ross Allen Skorzewski, finally getting to your emails. What do you got?
Okay, this question is from a husband. He's writing about his wife's dress code. He says, my never-ending battle of problem is where to draw the line as to what is acceptable, appropriate, and moral or not.
Who's writing?
The husband.
The husband.
Okay.
He says, I have had my wife put on a dress the night before we go to church for my approval, and the very next morning I have told her no, and that has caused much grief and understanding. You see, when the dress was put on at night, it was under the room light shining from the ceiling, and when Sunday morning comes, we open the windows and the blinds, and the sun rays come from the side, and now I can see through the dress. I tell her I understand that the lights in church are not like the sun, but to know that we can be walking from the house to the car to the church, and bystanders can see the shade of where my wife's legs meet, and that is not all right with me. With all the perversion out there, I have a protective approach, and she smirks and calls it control. Uh-huh. It is not like she's wearing short skirts or cleavage-exposing shirts. All of the clothes she has look really good and appropriate.
Can't she just wear a slip?
That's what I thought.
Well, the, people argue about the stupidest things.
But he said, if she's got something else on, sometimes she can squat down or pick up the kids or tie your shoe, and the ornaments start to be exposed when she bends over, and he's not okay with that. She gets upset because other husbands don't make big deals out of things like this, and she says it's not easy to find appropriate clothing that suits her controlling husband's standards.
Yeah, he sounds a little crazy to me.
She's not asking for him to approve of this, by the way. I did ask him that. I said, is she asking you to put, I have to put this on? This, I mean, I've done that. I've come out and go, is this too short? Is this too, I've done that.
And look, the thing is, she has to live with him.
Yeah.
I mean, if my wife's putting on stuff, I said, man, I don't like the way you're dressing. I think it's inappropriate. Yeah. I mean, at some point, that should have an impact on her and an influence or stuff. But you get to the point where you're just micromanaging everything she does. You're a little nuts. No.
If it's seeing through the skirts, that's what they made slips for.
That's what
the
slips are. You got to wear a slip. You can't see through the skirt. Just wear a slip.
Yeah.
So I don't know what he's talking about. It sounds like he's just, you know, they're not controlling. It's the wrong word. These are perfectionists.
Yeah.
These are perfectionists. Control people actually like controlling you. And when you can accuse them of being controllers, they smile and go, yes, I like control. I mean, they literally, they take a certain amount of pride in being. You know, some people go, man, you're trying to control everything. They'll go, yeah. I mean, they actually, but perfectionists, they're the ones who hate it when you say they're control, because they're not trying to control.
Yeah.
But they're constantly
trying to
picking
get it right.
At everything. Because they're perfect. Don't do that. Don't wear like, don't talk like that. That's they're always picking at stuff. So, dude, you got to live with the lady. I think you're probably a little crazy. You know, if you see men gawking and drooling and other. Here's the thing. When you're really dressing inappropriately, everybody knows it.
Mm-hmm.
And if nobody else is saying anything, you're just probably being a psycho. Yeah. Stop. If your wife's really dressing inappropriately, other women would say she's dressing inappropriately. Your pastor would probably at some point say she's dressing inappropriately. Other men would be gawking at her, and even they would probably acknowledge at some point. There's women who dress like that. Everybody knows who they are. They come to church, and we all, there's no secret.
Yeah.
Think she's inappropriate? Oh, duh, you think? You know, everybody gets it.
But I mean, there's something that if you're standing normal, that is fine. But if I reach all the way up on the top of a shelf, it might come up enough that my back or something or my belly comes out. But you wouldn't normally, Ross, you wouldn't normally see that. And because he said
like
that he asks her when
flop.
No, stop that. He says when they're on the way out the door, he'll ask her to raise your arms or do this or I mean, put her through the paces to make sure that nothing is showing.
You're crazy.
Well,
stop.
I think that's
stop
a little weird.
It.
I think that's a little weird.
And it's also disrespectful. She's not six years old.
Yeah. I mean, if she comes out and everything is exposed,
could you be more
that's different.
Insecure?
Right.
He
she
says
comes
he works
home
in
with
construction
you every night.
And knows what men look at.
Well, yeah,
so
we all look. Yeah,
worried.
Look, you got a good looking wife. Smile. Shut up. Good. What do you want? Put her in a. I'll tell you what. Go to Saudi Arabia and put her in a burqa.
Send us a picture of what she would wear had you freaked out, and we'll tell you whether you're.
Okay, I'm going to slam the Muslim eye like Muslims. Oh, yeah. But I'm just,
uh-oh.
Talk about a group of insecure men.
Well.
The way they can even begin to deal with their insecurity is putting their wives
in bag.
Bags.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care to look at my wife. I don't care to look at my wife. Really, could you be more paranoid? Mm-hmm. More unglued about stuff? Relax. Honestly. Again, if she's dressing inappropriately, people would acknowledge it. And if you really see something, you know, she's not, unless she's a whore, she's going to say, oh, yeah, I don't want people looking at that.
Yeah.
But when you're saying, well, stretch here, and I'll bend over here, and I'll reach over and grab your legs, and I'll just do this, see what hangs out, you're just being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Relax. Quit being a psycho. Well, my wife's really good looking. Well, good for you.
Yeah, celebrate it.
Celebrate. Hallelujah.
Because, I mean, if she's not, and he says that it's not exposing things, everything else she normally wears, but if you bend over.
And let me add this to it. It's not just what you can see that puts them in the whole category.
There you go.
It's an attitude.
Yeah.
Okay? The women who really are inappropriate, not only do they dress inappropriately, they act inappropriately. Yes. That's what does it, dude. Yeah. It's not just body. I mean, look, you're always going to see women. When a woman walks through her door, you immediately can assess.
She's a woman.
That she's a woman. You can tell how big her breasts are.
You know what her booty looks like.
What her butt looks like.
What her legs look like.
What her legs look like. What her face looks like. What her hair like. And you can do it in 0.5 seconds. Boom. You can't help but immediately notice the shape of every woman that walks in. You're like, boom, 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 boom. Men do it all the time. Other women do it to other women all the time. Yeah. I mean, everybody sees it right away. They got to, you know, they're at a disadvantage. Men, you can't tell what our junk looks like, you know. We're just, thank God.
Thank God.
Yeah, but I mean, women, boom, you see right away.
Right.
It's not like guys walk in and, ooh, look at the size of that thing on that guy. You can't tell stuff like that, you know, but you can with women. Well, that's normal, okay? It's not that you just see a body part. Every woman, you know, a woman can lean forward and pick something up and all of a sudden her breast kind of sticks. Okay, we notice that a little bit, but that's not.
But if you're walking through the lobby and your pants are so low and you can see the top of the thong hanging out and she's just walking normal, then that's an entirely different matter.
But I'm telling you, the real problem is when someone does that and they're smirking and they're smiling.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And they're talking to other men and they're playing with it and they have this attitude about them. It's not just that body parts, unless we're going to put them in burkas.
Oop, I chopped my purse.
Yeah. Let me bend over. Oh, it's really hot in here. Can I take off this? You know, they have an attitude about them. If your wife has that kind of attitude, then you got a problem. It's not just about body parts. Don't be a psycho. Okay? Relax. Honestly, they're going to run around and constantly have body part police. And I'm telling you, it's not just body parts in and of. All men like to see the body part. I get it. A man sees a bit of a breast. Whoa, you know, we get it. I get it. I know you're the construction guy. I get it. But that's not your threat. Your threat is some woman who's showing that and flaunting that and coming up to you and smiling, and it's a double whammy, okay? Yeah. This isn't just about a body part thing. Just relax, honestly. All right, take a break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Sign up for Mark's newsletter for your chance to win a Kindle Fire. Visit laughyourway.com.
Mind Pumpish Situation.
I need to wear this jacket every day.
Yep.
Hello, goodness. I say that now. Your TV's not set right. It'll be glowing and looking horrible. And people are flipping through channels and say, who the heck is that guy in that stupid outfit?
Yep.
Mark Gunger Show talking about love, marriage, and relationships. Again, just touching on this guy who's real concerned about his wife's little body parts being exposed and stuff. I argue it's not a body part thing in and of itself.
Right.
We're all going to see body parts. If you think it's just about body parts, you got to put women in burkas.
Yes.
Okay, you're going to see stuff, too, unless you just, it's not about body parts. The other part of it is the flirtatious attitude that a woman has. Mm-hmm. There are women that I've seen in churches who don't have much for body parts. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't have very big breasts at all. I mean, they're mosquito bites, okay? There's not much there.
Okay.
But it's proportionate to their body, and they're small, and they're real flirty and real cute. And they just talk to you, and their eyes sparkle, and they hug you, and they wrap themselves around you. Oh, I just really love and appreciate you. Okay, I promise you, that's a much bigger problem than some lady who's got, oh, look at those.
Yep.
You know, she bends over, and I see her, a little bit of her butt saying, oh, okay, you know, we see it. But that's not a threat.
Correct.
The threat is someone who has that and has
the
attitude.
The actions and the
intent. Okay?
Yeah.
So this guy, if your wife is acting inappropriately around men, now you got something.
Yeah.
And still, you don't want to just be a stumbling block. I tell women all the time, don't dress so we're all can't help
be mindful of it.
You know, cut us some slack. But it's not about body parts, guys. Mm-hmm. This guy needs to relax. He's being a real psycho. All right.
Okay, next email says, is it wrong for us to remain friends with my ex-brother-in-law? My sister's demanding that we cut all ties with him after knowing him for 18 years, and she claims that because of this, we're mean and disloyal to her. She's the one who ended the marriage and walked away from the Lord and the family in a very big way 6 years ago.
Yeah.
She's declared she won't come to any functions if he's there, and then later rants at me for not inviting her. So apparently they won't invite the sister.
Good for her.
She says he's still
good for this lady. Absolutely. Invite
him.
Your ex, just so she's the ex, has no right. And so she's the one. You brought these people into our lives. Yeah. We fell in love with these people. Yeah. Now you're ticked off at them, and now we have to hate them.
Because
you're crazy.
Because you discarded them. Yes.
You might discard people. We don't discard people. Well, then I'm not going to come. Good.
Yeah.
Because you're a drag when you show up anyway. I wouldn't, man. It wouldn't bother me in the least. If I had some brother or sister who was, I got some pretty weird ones.
Yeah.
If they don't show up, well, I got one brother who never shows up.
Yeah.
We're all glad. We don't hate him, but we're glad he doesn't show up, because when he shows up, it's a nightmare.
Yeah. If you'd want the nice brother-in-law or the witchy sister,
I'd much rather go for the nice
brother-in-law.
Good grief.
She says that she's got the divorce papers to prove that he's got no more ties to us. Just because she divorced him.
Yeah. You don't have a tie to him. And actually, you still do. Why you hate him? What's he got to do with anything? I'd much rather have the nice brother-in-law show.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy sister walks in.
I hate this guy, and you need to hate him too. And I hate your little dog too. And you're going to hate people when I hate people. And everybody's got to be crazy like me.
Good grief.
Whoops.
Stay away from those people.
But that's the problem with divorce, because then it's, especially after 18 years, because family's family, and you've made those ties, and with friends, and when you start in, well, you can't go and see him because you're my friend and you're not,
you brought him into our life. You made him family. We love family. Just because you can't handle being married to his brother doesn't change our status with him.
Yeah.
We don't just accept him because of you. You brought him into our life. We fall in love with this guy. We like this guy.
Yeah.
Well, then I don't come. Good.
Yeah.
Stay away. We're tired when you show up anyway.
Oh, now here comes Sally.
Hey, Sally. You forgot your broomstick.
Good grief. People are crazy, aren't they?
I know, but it's like my friends, your friends, the family, and it gets a little bit twitchy.
Start dictating who can be friends and who can't be friends.
You can't be friends. You can't be friends with them anymore because...
So you don't get the right to do that. You brought them into our life.
I was friends with them first.
Yeah, it doesn't
matter.
And
we got divorced, and now you are my friend first, so you can't be friends with... I mean, it gets really crazy.
You don't have the right to do this. You're the one who brought them into our life, okay?
I don't want to be your friends.
The fact that you can't hold it together is your problem, not ours.
That's what I'd say. You want to know what we say? That's what we tell you to say.
Invite the brother-in-law.
Yeah.
Well, invite her, but he's coming, and then that's her choice
if she
wants to come.
I wouldn't even invite her.
Why don't you invite me? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because you're
a witch! How about that? All right. See you guys.
Bye-bye, boys.
Have fun storming the castle.